think about the sign of the covenant that was given. The sign was circumcision. That's what Genesis 17:11 says. Now, why circumcision? Well, knowing that covenant has to do with cutting the flesh and blood, you should already know one reason. Circumcision was what? The cutting of the flesh. Circumcision very vividly involved the cutting of the flesh and blood. It involved a knife. Flesh was cut. So circumcision was an excellent sign for the cutting of a covenant. In addition, circumcision also quickly brings to mind procreation. The covenant was for Abraham and his children. Circumcision brought to mind procreation, children. Now think about this with me. We have all broken the covenant with God. We've broken the covenant. We've sinned. Which means we should die because the covenant is cut in blood. It was unto death. We broke it. We should die. But what did God do to give us life and keep the covenant with us? Answer, He Himself died. The flesh of Jesus was cut. His blood was shed on the cross. Dear friends, the cutting of flesh and blood in circumcision ultimately points to the very flesh and blood of Jesus Himself. He stood in our place. He went to the cross to cleanse us of all of our sins and to keep the covenant with us. So circumcision is an excellent sign of the covenant in the Old Testament, pointing ahead to Jesus who would come and cut His flesh, shed His blood for us. That's one truth about circumcision. A second truth we learn from Genesis 17 is this: every male child at 8 days of age had to be circumcised. And this is specifically stated in verse 12. And it's very clear from the passage that the reason they were to be circumcised is that the covenant included family, Abraham's descendants. The Old Testament leaves no doubt that children were part of the covenant. They were under the covenant. And third, we learn from Genesis 17 that lack of circumcision was a rejection of the covenant. That's specifically stated in verse 14. Circumcision wasn't an option. To ignore it was serious. Matter of fact, later on in the Bible, in Exodus 4, we see Moses almost died because he did not circumcise his child. He ended up circumcising his child, but he hadn't done it. He almost died. For the sake of time, I'm not going to take us there, but you can read that if you want. Exodus 4. God wasn't happy with Moses when his child was uncircumcised. Now, regarding those truths from Genesis 17, let me ask you this question. If God placed such a strong emphasis on children being part of the covenant in the Old Testament, wouldn't He do the same in the New Testament? Why would God command that children receive the sign of the covenant in the Old Testament, but then not care about children receiving the sign in the New Testament when the covenant is now expanding? It's bigger, it's better. Let that question simmer in your mind and heart as we learn one more truth. We're going to learn a fourth truth about circumcision from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This passage, Jeremiah the prophet is talking to grown-up men who had been circumcised when they were children. And Jeremiah the prophet says to them, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts, O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds." Jeremiah says to these men who had already been physically circumcised when they were infant boys, he says to them, circumcise your hearts. Remove the foreskin of your hearts, or God's wrath will break out against you. What we're learning here is that just because someone was physically circumcised as a child doesn't mean that person therefore assuredly had eternal salvation. I will word the truth this way. The circumcision received as a child needed to be followed with heartfelt repentance and faith in God. People in the Old Testament were saved the same way we are saved, upon heartfelt repentance of sin and faith in God's covenant promise of salvation. That is what Jeremiah is talking about when he says, I want you to remove the foreskin of your hearts. The physical circumcision they received when they were infant boys was meaningless, absolutely meaningless, if nothing happened in their hearts. There were people in the Old Testament who grew up under the covenant, who were circumcised when they were 8 days old, who never circumcised their hearts, never felt sorrow for their sins, never repented, asking God for forgiveness, never turned to faith to Him with a heartfelt love for Him. And therefore, they never knew the joy of salvation. God's just wrath remained on them. So the fourth truth is this: the circumcision received as a child needed to be followed through with heartfelt repentance and faith in God. Now, with that knowledge of circumcision, we're going to go back to Colossians chapter 2 and consider why Paul wrote the passage and what he's saying here. First, listen to verse 8, quote, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." This verse reveals that Paul was writing the Colossian Christians in response to false teaching that was going on there in the city. And we learn from our passage that part of the false teaching concerned circumcision. That's why Paul wrote the verses we're focused on. He was writing here in response to false teaching about circumcision. The Gentile Christians were being told that they had to be physically circumcised. Jews were saying to the Gentiles, now listen, if you want to be true followers of God and enjoy salvation, well, then you have to be circumcised. And Paul is combating that false teaching in this passage, and he explains two reasons why the Colossian Christians do not have to be circumcised. Two reasons why that is no longer necessary. In the Old Testament, circumcision was necessary. But Paul says to the Colossians, now listen, there are two reasons you don't have to be circumcised. The first reason is that they already have the inward reality, the heart reality. Listen to verse 11, quote, "In Him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands," in other words, not physical, "by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." In this verse, Paul is telling the physically uncircumcised Christians that they do not have to be physically circumcised because they already have been circumcised in Christ. Paul is here referring to that inward circumcision of the heart. Since they had repented of their sins, placed their faith in Jesus alone for their salvation, their hearts were indeed circumcised, transformed by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, purified by the flesh and blood of Christ. Paul is telling them, you do not have to be physically circumcised by the hands of men because your hearts have been circumcised by Christ. Remember what we learned from Jeremiah. It's the inner circumcision of the heart that is far more important than the outward sign. These Gentile Christians had a heart circumcision that was too often lacking in the Old Testament. And that's one reason Paul is saying, now listen, you don't have to be physically circumcised. But there's another reason as well. Paul says they have been baptized. In verse 12, Paul continues the sentence he started in verse 11. Verses 11 and 12 are one big sentence. Verse 11, he tells them they have been circumcised because They have the inward reality. And then in verse 12, it goes on to say that they have been circumcised, quote, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, this is the only place in the letter to the Colossians that Paul mentions baptism. And he does so because he's talking about circumcision. He's not talking about baptism. He's talking about circumcision, but he mentions baptism. Paul says to the Gentile Christians, you don't have to be circumcised because you've been buried with Christ in baptism. Now, why would Paul say that? Why would he say that? Why would Paul relate baptism to physical circumcision that they don't need? The only answer that makes sense is this. Baptism has replaced circumcision as the outward sign of the covenant. In other words, what physical circumcision was in the Old Testament, physical baptism has become in the New Testament. Dear friends, what we're learning here is this. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the inner reality of the covenant remains the same. A person who is truly part of the covenant has a heart that is repenting of sin and placing faith in the covenant promises of God, which come through our Savior Jesus Christ. The inward reality of the covenant has remained the same, but the outward sign has changed. In the Old Testament, the outward sign was physical circumcision. In the New Testament, the outward sign is baptism. Baptism has replaced circumcision as the outward sign of the covenant, and it is a needed, wonderful replacement because blood no longer needs to be shed. Circumcision involved real flesh, real blood, because Christ had not yet come. Baptism involves water because Christ has come. And he has given his flesh and his blood. When we witness baptism, as we have today, we should realize that. There was no cutting of flesh today. There was no spilling of blood today. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Christ came and offered his flesh to be cut. His blood to be spilled in our place. The flesh and blood of Christ brought an end to the cutting of flesh and the spilling of blood. He has for all eternity fulfilled the covenant with his one-time sacrifice of flesh and blood unto death. Christ has completely fulfilled the covenant in our place. He bore the death we deserve. So now we have the amazing joy and privilege of using clean water as a sign of the covenant. Some water on the forehead, even if it's a little cold, that's a lot better than a knife, isn't it? And I'm putting that image in your mind to help you remember what baptism is all about. This replaces the knife. Now think about this with me. Since baptism has replaced circumcision as the sign of the covenant, and since the sign of the covenant has always been placed on children, shouldn't we expect that to be true of baptism as well? Wouldn't that make sense if the covenant's getting bigger, better, expanding? God said to Abraham, this covenant is for you and your children. If children were part of the covenant in the Old Testament, well, we should simply expect that they're still part of it. Family is strongly emphasized in the Old Testament. Why would that emphasis change? We shouldn't expect it to change, and it doesn't. Listen to this. As we read the book of Acts and watch the New Testament church grow, we find families are emphasized, just as they were in the Old Testament. Look at what Peter says to the people on the day of Pentecost. After preaching the gospel to them, starting with verse 38, we hear Peter say to the people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The words, this promise is for you and your children, is the same identical message God gave to Abraham. That's covenant language. The covenant has always included family, and it still does. Peter calls them not to be circumcised, but to be baptized. And then in Acts chapter 16, we have two examples of families being baptized. I'm not going to read the passages, but they're on the screen. Verse 15, we see Lydia and her whole family baptized. Verse 33, we see the jailer and his whole family baptized. Families emphasized exactly as we should expect. So why do we baptize Adri and Casey today? Answer, baptism has replaced circumcision as the sign of the covenant, and our children are part of the covenant. Today we saw parents bring their children before God with thankfulness. We saw them commit their children to God. We saw them look to God for grace and help to raise their children. And importantly, we heard those parents promise that they will raise their children to know and love Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we promise to help them. All of that is part of the covenant, and it's a huge blessing for Adri and Casey and for all the children who have been baptized here at First Church. Children and teenagers, please listen to this. Children and teenagers, please realize the blessing you are enjoying. You've got this huge blessing. Grasp. Please grasp the grace and mercy you are experiencing because you are growing up as members of the covenant. You are growing up under parents who are teaching you of Jesus. Teaching you of the only way to know and enjoy eternal life with your Creator. You're growing up with that huge, immense, eternal blessing. Children and teenagers, please realize that there are millions, millions of children and teenagers in this world for whom that is not true. I can't tell you how significant that is. Do you know that there's millions of children and teenagers who have never, ever heard of Jesus and grace and salvation through faith in Him? They know nothing of eternal life in Him. They haven't heard one word because they're growing up in homes that teach them to bow down before an idol made of wood or stone or something else, and that idol will never hear them. Oh, the blessing you have received is immense. A sign is given of that blessing. Please, children, understand that. Do not ignore the blessing you have received growing up in covenant homes. Oh, what a mistake it is to get bored with Jesus and follow the ways of this world. If you're bored with Jesus, realize the treasure you're turning away. You're just chucking it. There's nothing more devastating. Nothing. This is just so huge. And parents, please realize that God is communicating to you that He is present with you. He's strengthening you to help you raise your children. Please realize you have the awesome joy of being able to tell your children the truth about who God is and what He's done through Jesus. Raising children is not easy. I'll be the first to admit that. Raising children is not easy. There can be heartaches with raising children. But parents, you are not alone. You're not alone. God is with you, and so is your community, your church family. Now, having explained these blessings, I want to remind you what we learned from the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to put that passage on the screen one more time. We learned from Jeremiah that the outward sign of the covenant is meaningless. Meaningless if there's never an inward reality. Don't miss that point today. This is essential application for all of us, any age. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. This is essential application for all of us. Children, teenagers, adults. If you have not repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ alone for salvation, if you don't have a heart for Jesus, then the outward baptism that you're given as a child will not do anything for you. It'll be empty if you don't have the inward reality. So if your heart is not yet circumcised, let your heart be circumcised this very day. Do you realize that God is present with his word right now so that you can have eternal life? His word is being heard right now through his spirit for you to have and enjoy eternal life, to walk out of here enjoying it, for all of us to walk out of here with thankful hearts because of what Christ has done for us. That's the good news. Enjoy it. Please bow with me in prayer. Father in heaven, we've seen the water of baptism today and been reminded from your holy word that the water represents the blood of your own Son, Jesus. And we've also been reminded that his blood was shed that our sins might be forgiven, the sins we have committed against you. The flesh of Jesus was cut. His blood was shed so that we might live in your presence and enjoy all your covenant promises. We thank you and we confess with sorrow our sins before you, trusting only in Jesus for our salvation. And we declare before you our intention to spread the good news of Jesus to every generation. May Adrian and Casey come to know Christ at an early age. May all the children of our church family come to know Christ. And may the generations who follow them do likewise. May you glorify and exalt your name through us. We thank you and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.